Visiting every state in the Union can give you a perspective on what makes it the United States of America. Daniel Siddiqui has gone back to each of the 50 states over and over again. He shares what he likes best about his favorite cities in just a bit on today's Travel with Rick Steves. Later in the hour, Paul Kilday tells us about the obstacles Frédéric Chopin had to overcome to compose his sublime preludes during a working getaway to Mallorca. They take their Viking heritage seriously in the islands that lie just off the north coast of Scotland. Some political leaders in Orkney are even suggesting they should become part of Norway now. 10 or 1200 years ago, the Vikings were a thriving society in Scandinavia. With their navigational skills, they traded and plundered far and wide. Today, the 25,000 people who live on Orkney, a windswept island north of Scotland, have a strong connection to Norway and a fascinating Viking heritage. My guide on Orkney is Kinley Francis. He owns and runs a tour company called Orkney Uncovered. And Kinley joins us right now to take us back in time to the days when Vikings ruled the waves throughout Northern Europe. Kinley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for allowing me to speak to you, Rick. It's great to finally see you again after so long.
Yeah. The connection with Orkney, which is just 10 miles north of Scotland, an island that's part of Great Britain, very strong connection to Norway that goes back to Viking times. Who were the Vikings, and what explains your interest in the Vikings?
Well, the Vikings were a group of people within the Norse period of time. So Norse period was from around about the beginning of the 8th century up until about the 14th century. And within that, you had the Viking Ages. And so these were men or women born of noble birth. They were able to go and explore maybe once or twice a year or raid different areas. These were known as the Viking sea warriors or sea explorers.
Okay, now you look like a Viking to me. If I ever met somebody who looks like a Viking, it's you. You're 5 inches taller than me. You're 6'7". You got a big long beard and a bushy head of red hair, and you're strong as a tree. And you've also got a very impressive and sophisticated understanding of history and archaeology and so on, and that's why you're such a great guide. I know you and your family have been in Orkney for about a generation, but you have Nordic roots, don't you? You are a good example of Norway's connection to Orkney.
Yes, that's correct. I have a bloodline that dates back to the 9th century, and so the same sort of period of time as Ragnar Lothbrok. And mostly my bloodline is from the Varangian Vikings that were from Sweden and Norway. And they were elite, basically mercenaries, swords for hire for the Byzantine Empire.
I just finished a TV series about the art of Europe. I was inspired by Kenneth Clark, who, when I was a student, did a series called Civilization. And Clark started out the Middle Ages by talking about the Vikings. And when I was working on my script for the Middle Ages, you know, Europe was in what a lot of people called the Dark Ages. It's, you know, it's far from dark, but that was the common term for the period from when Rome fell in 500 until the High Middle Ages around 500 years later. But during that period, of course, you have Byzantium, which a lot was going on, centered in today's Istanbul. You have the Moorish civilization, Northern Africa, a Muslim civilization that invaded in through Spain. And in the north, you've got the Viking culture. A lot of people underappreciate and misunderstand the Viking culture. How do we misunderstand or fail to get how sophisticated the Vikings were?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Rick. A lot of people think the word Viking, they think it's some sort of crazy person that would go and pillage and kill a whole lot of people and civilizations. And yes, that did go on. But the Vikings, they went to America, they traveled us all the way out to the Middle East and the Khyber Pass. They got silk from the Silk Roads for their sails. They were very well traveled. And they owned Orkney and Shetland and used our islands as a place of huge area for trade and for fresh water. So we have a very strong Viking presence here in the far north.
You know, they were expert shipbuilders and navigators. I understand the word for Russia is Rus.
Correct.
Which is, what is that? That was the Russian word for the Vikings who came up their rivers.
The Rus, yes, that's correct. Exactly right, yep.
So that's an indication that, you know, 1,200 years ago, Vikings ranged far and wide. And my understanding, in much of Northern Europe, people would close their prayer, not with amen, but "and deliver us from the Viking, amen." The Viking presence was there.
Yes.
But really, I suppose there was a lot of plunder, but there was also a lot of trade, wasn't there?
That's correct. I mean, there was a lot of plunder, and at the end of the day, the Vikings were given the name the Vikings because of what they did. They raided and plundered, but they set up communities, and they were big into fishing and farming. So if they weren't out on a Viking raid, maybe once a year, they would be living their lives normally as farmers and traders and shipbuilders. And that's how they used us here in Orkney. They owned the Orkney and Shetland Islands, used us for shipbuilding and for trade to the mainland of Britain.
You know, I've got some Viking history too. My relatives are in Norway, and my earliest memory was visiting Norwegian relatives back when I was just a little kid. And my relatives in the south of Norway took me on a walk just behind their house, and we found sort of the skeleton of a Viking ship made out of stone. And it was a 1,000-year-old burial ground. All over Scandinavia, I've been able to find these in the shape of a Viking ship, stone monuments marking a ceremonial burial ground. Have you encountered any of those?
Yes, we have them here in Orkney. There's an Iron Age site called the Brock of Gurness. It was properly excavated in the 1950s. And what they found here was that the Vikings used it at some stage for burial. So they buried the elite, the women in society, probably the Valkyries or the Shield Maidens, inside stone ships big enough into which to take their body to Valhalla when they die. The warriors were believed to have been fired at sea, and the nobles buried in land in these areas. Now, the one thing Orkney did have, and it still does today, is very fertile farmland, and that's why the Vikings found us such an attractive proposition for an island group.
Nice. Orkney is probably a balmy land of promise compared to a lot of Norway.
Yes. We one thing we don't have is trees, but yes, we do have a much milder climate.
We're traveling back in time to the Viking era now with a view from the Orkney Islands right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Our guest is tour guide Kinlay Francis. He's an Orkney native and the founder of Orkney Uncovered, where he leads tours specializing in Viking and military history. Kinlay's website is orkneyuncovered.co.uk. Kinlay, I made a mistake there. I called it the Orkney Islands, and it's a confusing thing for a lot of travelers. You don't really say Orkney Islands, do you? Even though it is an archipelago of 70 islands.
Yeah, you did it well, Rick. If you had said the Orkneys, then that would have been a definite faux pas. But the Orkney Islands is fine, but just as an island group, Orkney.
Kinlay, let's talk about some sightseeing, because by the nature of a society that builds with wood, there's not a lot left. But there are some beautiful artifacts that ended up in museums. There are some Viking ships. A lot of them survived because they were scuttled intentionally to block up harbors. And then today archaeologists find them at the mouth of the harbor. What are some highlights for you with your passion for learning more about the Vikings in your sightseeing?
Well, one of my favorite things about the Orkney Islands is that literally every place name or area that you visit has a Viking name or a Norse name, even some of our surnames. On the island of Hoy, there's a beach called Rackwick. It's got huge, towering red sandstone cliffs that look amazing at sunset. Rackwick means Wreck Bay in Old Norse, and it's an area where the Vikings deliberately scuttled their vessels and had them sunk to stop enemy coming into harbour. There is also a place called the Brock of Bursey, an island that's got old Viking village on it that was once owned by a very powerful Viking lord called Thorfinn the Mighty in the early part of the 11th century.
Now, Kinlay, the Vikings were famously pagan, but they did eventually convert to Christianity. Tell us a little bit about that transition and what it meant for Viking civilization.
Yeah, so a lot of people think that the Vikings were often at war with the Saxons in England. A lot of the time they're at war with one another. So Norway moved towards Christianity 200 years before the First Crusade. So in around about 895, they started becoming Christian. It was the Danish, that only stayed on with their heathen and their pagan gods all the way up until the 12th century. There was a big mixture between Christianity and the old Norse gods of Thor, Odin, and Loki, and so on, and Freya. So it's often movement between two magnets going opposite one another with the problems within nations.
And I think from a historian or an archaeologist's point of view, that transition from pagan to Christianity was the mark of the Viking communities going from ancient to medieval societies.
Yes, that's correct.
I know that when you travel around Britain, you can see some great sites. You've got Jorvik, which is the Viking word for York. York was a key town in English history, and it was a key settlement for the Vikings. And they discovered when they were excavating in the town of York, if you dig down, you find Viking remnants, and they've actually got an amazing museum there They've got also an kind of an amusing site called Jorvik, but that's a pretty vivid look at a Viking community, isn't it?
It is, definitely. The Jorvik Viking Center, I've been there many a time, and it's an incredible place to visit. The other thing about that sort of area as well is in East Yorkshire, I think it is, you've got Stamford Bridge, and it's the final battle of the Norwegian king and the Orkney Earl versus the King of England at the Battle of Stamford Bridge. And that was in 1066, 18 days before the Battle of Hastings with William the Conqueror. One thing I love reading about that is how one Dane managed to hold back the army of 3,000 Saxons himself for about 50 minutes, and who knows how many men he killed, but it was wow. It's called the Berserker of Stamford Bridge.
One thing I'd like to finish our conversation with right now, Kinlay, is the time-honored question, who discovered America?
Oh, well, I would like to say Leif Erikson on that one. It's a topic of discussion and possibly a bit of our disagreement, but I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Having said who discovered, of course, there were people already there, the indigenous Americans, but the Vikings, in their mighty ships with their oars and with their sails, muscled them where the farther and farther west, where they went to Iceland, then they went to Greenland, and then archaeological evidence is pretty convincing that the Vikings had a little settlement on the mainland of North America 500 years before Columbus. Do you buy that?
Yes, I'll definitely go with that, Rick. Thank you. I think there's a good chance that before Chris Columbus was, it was the Vikings. Yeah, and then you've got the indigenous man as well. But yeah, so we'll say the Vikings.
Okay, so we'll go to Newfoundland and we'll look for some Viking artifacts. Kinlay, thanks so much for being with us. I want to remind people that when you're going to Britain, it's quite easy to nip up north and check out Orkney. And when you're there, you could connect with a wonderful guide like Kinlay. Best wishes, Kinlay. Happy travels.
Thank you so much, Rick. A pleasure speaking to you again, and I really look forward to seeing you again in Orkney in the future. Thank you.
Kinlay Francis leads tours with OrkneyUncovered.co.uk. In a bit, we'll hear how admirers of the composer Frédéric Chopin have located the pianos he used when he wrote works that changed how the world thinks of music. But first, we look at some of our favorite cities in the USA. You're with Travel with Rick Steves.